Kavitra madam.
Yes, Mataji, if we can start recording, then I can introduce. Yeah. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. So today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vlasni Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhuri Mataji, and thanks to all the devotees for joining. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anta Leela, Chapter 3, verse 216 onwards. We'll be covering a bunch of verses to cover a couple of pastimes. Start with the prayers. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Kirim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Sri Mati Radha Natha Swami Niti Namane. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschayata Deshatharini. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So far we have seen the story of Haridas Thakur, how he stayed at Benapola, where this prostitute had come to allure him. And then from there he went on to Chandpur, where this incident with Gopal Chakravarti happened. And Haridas Thakur was actually very, very unhappy when he heard that this Brahmin Gopal Chakravarti had been attacked by leprosy. And after informing Balram Acharya, under whose shelter Haridas Thakur was staying there, meaning he was taking the association of Balram Acharya. So after telling him that he wanted to leave, he just went on to Shantipur, to the home of Advaita Acharya. So this is where we stopped in our previous session, and it was a very beautiful class detailing the incident with Gopal Chakravarti, how Haridas Thakur was preaching the glories of the holy name, and then Gopal Chakravarti kind of interjected, and then there was a conversation, and finally Gopal Chakravarti was attacked by leprosy. So now this, you know, just because Haridas Thakur, he won in one sense, it was not that he was happy, he was rather very, very sad at heart because of this unfortunate incident for Gopal Chakravarti. So we are continuing from there, and this is verse number 216. It goes like this. Acharya Miliya Kaila Dandavat Pranama Advaita Lingina Kari Karila Samana. Upon meeting Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur offered him respect and obeisances. Okay. So we are going to continue the story, and here and there I'll be reciting a few verses, but we'll cover a bunch of verses as it has been the pattern for quite some days. So upon meeting Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, he offered him all the respect and obeisances. And when Advaita Acharya saw Haridas Thakur, he began to shed tears of ecstasy. He was so happy. He was so happy to see Haridas Thakur, and both of them started embracing each other, and they were chanting the holy names of the Lord. And Advaita Acharya, he understood the underlying mood of Haridas. He could understand Haridas Thakur's spirit of renunciation. So therefore, he personally arranged for a nice cave for Haridas Thakur to live in. So he made sure that Haridas Thakur gets to reside in a nice place, in a comfortable aloof cave. And Haridas Thakur, being the way he was, always in a spirit of renunciation, he would go there and he would do his bhajan very sincerely. And Advaita Acharya, from time to time, he would go and visit Haridas Thakur here, and they both would sit and speak Harikatha. Sometimes Haridas Thakur would go to the house of Advaita Acharya. Sometimes Advaita Acharya would go and meet Haridas Thakur here, and they would discuss Harikatha. So it is described that Oftentimes, Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur would meet together, and what they would do together is that they would discuss the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam and the meaning of Bhagavad Gita in terms of devotional service. So meaning they would discuss the topics of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in the right spirit, understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and in the mood of devotion. So that is what they did very, very frequently. So this is something that is very important. We all know the mood of Prabhupada as well. Prabhupada always made this very clear. When we talk about Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, it must be done in the right spirit. And the second point here is that when we take devotee association means not just sitting together and talking something. Devotee association means discussing topics of Krishna in each other's association. And that is exactly what Haridas Thakur and Advaita Acharya, when they would meet, they would actually exemplify. And they would speak the real meanings of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in terms of devotional service. This is what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes here. And it's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada, in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, he writes the same thing. He writes, there are so many editions to the Bhagavad Gita available in English. But as far as I have seen, not only in America, but also in India, none of them can strictly be said to be authoritative. Because in almost every one, the commentator has expressed his own opinions without touching the spirit of Bhagavad Gita as it is. The spirit of Bhagavad Gita is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita itself. It is like this. If we want to take a particular medicine, we have to follow the directions written on the label. We cannot just take the medicine according to our own whims and fancies and according to the directions of a close friend. That is not possible. You will have to follow what is written in the instructions. It must be taken strictly according to the directions in the label or the directions given by the physician. So similarly, Bhagavad Gita should be taken or accepted as it is directed by the speaker himself. And the speaker of Bhagavad Gita is Lord Sri Krishna. And in every page, he declares that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhagavan directly relates only to Sri Krishna. And all our great acharyas, like he even mentions Shankaracharya. He says Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so many others on Vedic knowledge in India, they have asserted again and again that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the spirit of the Bhagavad Gita, and that is the spirit of the Puranas and the Brahma Samhita, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, always we know the Paribhasha Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is being declared as the Supreme Lord from the beginning to the end. And even we have other scriptures like Brahma Samhita that state Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sachidananda Vikraha. So like that, we should take it in the spirit in which the Bhagavad Gita was presented. So similarly, Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, when they would meet, they would make sure that they took proper association, meaning when they would meet, they would discuss concepts and topics about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. And they discussed this in the spirit of devotion. So this went on. They would take each other's association and they were very, very happy associating with each other. And Haridas Thakur, he would oftentimes take food at the house of Advaita Acharya. So meeting together, because it would be an opportunity for them to meet together and associate. So they would Haridas Thakur would go to the house of Advaita Acharya and they would sit together and they would honor Prasadam and they would discuss more and more Harikatha. Now, the problem at this point in time was that Haridas Thakur, though he would accept the invitation of Advaita Acharya, in the back of his mind, he knew very well that the people around are observing. Okay. So Haridas Thakur, one day he went and he spoke to Advaita Acharya in a very humble way. He went and submitted a request. He said, I have something to tell you. Every day you give me alms to eat. Okay, you give me food. And actually there is no necessity for this. You come and you invite me with so much love and affection and I accept it and I come and I eat with you. Actually, accepting alms from you is not really so much important. Because you are living in a great society. You're living here in Shantipur, and this entire society is filled with great brahmanas and aristocrats. But without fear, you're just calling me. I'm a lower class man. I'm a mlecha. I'm a yavana. You're calling me and you're asking me to accept prasadam with you. This kind of behavior is not really suitable for the general, for the people around. Meaning the people around who are so aristocratic and so brahminical, they may take you wrong. And sometimes I even become so afraid to come and speak to you very freely. So, because I want to protect you from the criticism of the society. So I think it is better we refrain. I refrain coming here and taking prasadam with you so freely. So actually Haridas Thakur, when he was under the care of Advaita Acharya, he was very afraid of the behavior of society in Shantipur. And we all know that Navadvip was full of aristocratic brahmanas and kshatriyas and vaishyas and everyone, but it was a very well-organized society. So Haridas Thakur was he had this thought that the brahmanas would be critical of them. Mainly, he was thinking that the brahmanas would be critical of Advaita Acharya. He was not so worried about himself. Oh, the brahmanas might criticize me. He was the least bothered about that. But his concern was that he was worried for Advaita Acharya, because Advaita Acharya was such a great scholar and such a great brahmana, and he was setting an example as being the topmost brahmana in that area. So Haridas Thakur was very concerned about this. Not only that, just recently Haridas Thakur had a very, very bitter experience with Gopal Chakravarti in Chandpur. So he had to even leave that place. So now he was thinking that if because of me, Advaita Acharya gets into some trouble or some difficulty because of this over familiarity with me, it will not be nice. He will have to suffer, because he saw there are other envious people also. Like for example, in Benapola, he saw how this Ramchandra Khan was so envious and he sent a prostitute. So he was thinking, see, there are going to be other people as well. What if they harm Advaita Acharya? What if they get envious of Advaita Acharya? So like this, he was telling Advaita Acharya, it's better that I keep away from you. And Advaita Acharya, he really didn't care. He really didn't care for envious people like this who didn't understand the true spirit of a Vaishnava. And Prabhupada in the purport, he mentions that actually even for us, we should follow in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya. Because in our own society, we have Vaishnavas coming from all sorts of backgrounds. And there are people like Ramchandra Khan who are always envious of such Vaishnavas. So we should follow in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya and treat everyone equally, irrespective of the background that they are coming from. Once a person has taken to practicing the Vaishnava behavior, following these principles of Vaishnava etiquette and chanting and hearing about Krishna, he should be considered as a Vaishnava and he should not be ostracized from the society just because of his background that he's carrying. Then Advaita Acharya, he says, Acharya kahena tumi nakariha baya, se achari baye shastra matahaya. So when Haridas Thakur expressed his concern like this, Advaita Acharya, he replied very lovingly. He said, oh, my dear Haridas, just don't be worried. Don't be worried about all this. I will behave strictly according to the principles of the revealed scriptures. He said, I am very strict. I will behave very strictly. Actually, Advaita Acharya, as I mentioned, was the least afraid of strict Brahminical culture and the customs of society. And he knew the conclusions of all the scriptures. He knows what the scriptures are saying. And in fact, the scriptures are to be considered as the real authority. So we should look into what scriptures are saying. Praman should be from scripture, not from someone's idea or someone's speculation or someone's analysis of the scripture, basically. If it is not in proper sampradaya, we do not just take someone's opinion as a praman. So therefore, Advaita Acharya was very, very clear. He knew what the scriptures were telling. And he said, I'll strictly follow what the scriptures are saying. Don't worry, Haridas Thakur. Now, so what are the shastric injunctions telling us? What are scriptures telling us? The scriptures say that anyone can go back to Godhead, even if he is born in a low family, if he takes to the process of Krishna consciousness. Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, he mentions this. He says, Mam hi partha vyapashatya yepi syuhu papayonayaha striyo vaishyastata sudras tepi yanti param gatim. He says, O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas and shudras, they can attain the supreme destination. Though having taken birth, low birth in human society, one who accepts Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead is quite competent to go back home back to Godhead. And one who is a bona fide candidate for going back to Godhead should be considered, should not be considered as a based on his birth, like a chandala or a shudra. So like this, even in the Bhagavad Gita, we see the same confirmation given by Krishna himself. It doesn't matter from which background you're coming from. Once you take up the process, then you're considered as a Vaishnava. Same thing, Srimad Bhagavatam, very, very, very famous verse, oftentimes quoted by Srila Prabhupada. This is Canto 2, Chapter 4, verse number 18. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavana kashadaya ye anye cha papa yada pashaya shaya shutyanti tasmai prabhavishnave nama. So and Prabhupada, he gives a very elaborate purport for this verse, and he says that not only the yavanas and the kashadayas, even those born in still lower families can be purified by the grace of the devotee of Lord Sri Krishna, because Krishna empowers such devotees. He empowers such devotees to perform this purification. So therefore, when one takes shelter of bona fide devotees, they themselves, even irrespective of whatever background they are coming from, they can get purified. And Advaita Acharya, he had complete confidence in the Shastric evidence. And he made it very, very clear, that such kind of social customs and conventions that have come about in recent times from by the people who are not strictly following scriptures cannot affect him. So even it is, Prabhupada says that we all should follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya and accept devotees from all parts of the world and recognize them as Brahmanas as soon as they are qualified to follow the principles of Vaishnava behavior. So by a pure devotee, even the lowest of all people, meaning their background may be low, but if they are able to take up the process of Krishna consciousness by the potency of a pure devotee, then he should be respected as a Vaishnava. So Advaita Acharya, he was the leader. He was the leader of that place, and he was the foremost leader of all the Vaishnavas and also the foremost leader of all the Brahmanas. So he was very, very clear about this, and he continued to associate with Haridas Thakur on a regular basis, and he would offer him prasadam very regularly. Now, after a few days, it so happened that there was a very interesting incident that happened in Shantipur. So this Advaita Acharya, every year he would perform his Shraddha ceremony for his ancestors, to deliver the ancestors. So during Shraddha ceremony, what you do is you offer bhoga to Vishnu, and you offer this to all the Vaishnavas, okay? After the ceremony is complete, you offer bhoga, the prasadam to all the Vaishnavas. And this bhoga is actually first offered to Krishna, and then it is offered to everyone. And when they are offering it to the Vaishnavas, after it is being offered to Krishna, when it is offered to the Vaishnavas, it is generally given to the topmost Vaishnavas in that region. So a first class Shraddha ceremony means you call the topmost Brahmanas and you give them the remnants of Vishnu. And this is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Interestingly, even Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, when they talk about behavior of civilized people in the 7th canto, you see those very beautiful verses that talk about how a Shraddha ceremony must be performed. So when it says, when one gets an opportunity of a suitable or auspicious time and place, one should with love offer food prepared with ghee to the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then offer the prasada to a suitable person, a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. This will be the cause of everlasting prosperity. One should offer prasada to the demigods, the saintly persons, one's forefathers, people in general, one's family members, one's relatives, and one's friends, seeing them all as devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Canto 7, Chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. So that is exactly what was happening in Shantipur. Advaita Acharya, he was he had the Shraddha ceremony, and he made arrangements for the Shraddha ceremony. And when the Shraddha ceremony was about to be completed, he had to honor a Vaishnava, a topmost Vaishnava. At that time, Haridas Thakur was actually called upon by Advaita Acharya, and he honored him, and he placed the Shraddha Patra in front of Haridas Thakur when all the other Brahmanas were present. And when everyone there, they saw this, they were completely astounded. They were also shocked. It was like making a heavy statement in front of all of them. And in fact, I was hearing a lecture of Raghunath Swami Maharaj, and he was saying it was like an earthquake in the heart of the people who didn't understand what Vaishnava Siddhanta is. So like this, Haridas Thakur, he was known to be an untouchable. He was known to be a Mlecha or a Yavana by birth. And still, he was given all importance and all precedence over all the Brahmanas who were present there. And he was given the Shraddha Patra with Advaita Acharya's own hands. And you can imagine how Haridas Thakur felt that time. He was feeling so ashamed and so embarrassed in front of everyone. And he said, oh my God, I am a Mlecha, I am a Yavana, I am not qualified to honor this. And there are so many qualified people here in Shantipur. Why are you giving me this honor? It's actually meant for a Brahmana and not for me. So at that time, Advaita Acharya said, Tumi kahile haya koti Brahmana bojana eta bali shada patra karaila bojana. Advaita Acharya, with tears of ecstasy, of ecstatic love in his eyes, he said, by feeding you, I am feeding 10 million Brahmanas, because you have complete attraction to the chanting of the holy names. So this is the statement that Advaita Acharya says. So even Bhagavatam says, if one is born in a family of chandalas, dog eaters, if he is tasting the nectar of the holy names, it is to be considered that he has gone to all the holy places of pilgrimage. He has read all the scriptures. He has bathed in all the rivers. He has performed all sorts of pious activities, and he has done every type of austerity. He is the greatest of all Brahmanas. In fact, the person, such a person who's chanting very sincerely, is fit to be the guru of the whole world. But a Brahmana by birth, even if he has all the 25 qualifications of a Brahmana, even if he's coming from such a high family, if he is not a devotee attached to the holy name, he cannot even deliver himself what to speak of anyone else. This is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 33, verse number 7. So, and also Prabhupada gives such amazing purports to this verse spoken by Advaita Acharya. He refers to so many scriptures, and he tells us about the glories of a person who's constantly chanting the holy name. And he's fit to be the topmost Vaishnava. And in fact, he is the one who's the topmost Vaishnava. So Prabhupada again quotes, he says, referring to the Bhakti Sandarbha, text 177, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the following statements from the Garuda Purana in this connection. Brahmananam sahasrebhya shatra yaji vishishyate Satrayaji sahasrebhyaha sarva vedanta paraga sarva vedanta vitkotya Vishnu bhakto visishyate Vaishnavanam sahasrebhya ekant eko visishyate. A Brahmana qualified to offer sacrifices is better than an ordinary Brahmana. And better than such a Brahmana is one who has studied all the Vedic scriptures. Among many such Brahmanas, one who is a devotee of Lord Vishnu is the best. And among many such Vaishnava, one who fully engages in the service of the Lord is the best. Bhakti rashta vidhahesha yasmin mleche api vartate विप्रेन्दो मुनि श्रेष्ठ स ज्ञानी स च पंडित तस्मै देयम् ततो ग्राह्यम् स च पूजो यथा हरिः. There are many different kinds of devotees, but even a Vaishnava coming from a family of Mlechas or Yavanas is understood to be a learned scholar, complete in Vedic knowledge, if he knows the Vaishnava philosophy. He should therefore be given charity, for such a Vaishnava is worshipable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na me bhaktas chaturvedi mad bhaktashva pachat priya tasmai deyam tato grahyam sa cha pujo yatahyam. Lord Krishna says, even if a non-devotee comes from a Brahmana family and is expert in studying the Vedas, he is not very dear to me. Whereas, even if a sincere devotee comes from a low family of meat eaters, he is very dear to me. Such a sincere, pure devotee should be given charity, for he is worshipable as I. So this was indeed the mood of Advaita Acharya. So when Advaita Acharya would call Haridas Thakur, he did it in this mood. He would share whatever prasadam he had with Advaita Acharya. He would spend hours together, with Haridas Thakur. He would spend hours together with Haridas Thakur, talking to him about the topmost conclusions of the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. So like this, Advaita Acharya, he was very, very magnanimous. Very magnanimous. And he showed his topmost magnanimity when he desired to deliver all the conditioned souls of this world. So together, both Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur were responsible for the descent of Lord Gaurahari. So that is being described next. Advaita Acharya was so magnanimous that he was always absorbed in the thoughts of how do I deliver the fallen souls. He was always thinking of this all the time. He knew that this world was filled with non-devotees and he was thinking, how are all these people going to be delivered? We have to do something. And because of his thinking like this, Advaita Acharya, he set the standard for all the Acharyas to come in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. An Acharya must always be eager to deliver the fallen souls. That should be the mood of an Acharya. That is the mood of a preacher. One should always be thinking how to deliver all the fallen souls. And Prabhupada so nicely, he writes in the purport, a person who establishes a temple or a matha to take advantage of people's sentiments by using it for his livelihood, whatever these people are contributing for the worshipping of the deity, is not a Goswami or Acharya. A person who is using the facility of the matha and the contributions of the people for his own maintenance, such a person cannot be a Goswami or Acharya. But one who knows the conclusion of the Shastras, one who follows in the footsteps of his predecessors and endeavors to preach the bhakti cult all over the world, such a person is called as an Acharya. There is no pride in opening a matha or a temple and then using that money or that income for your own maintenance. What you should be doing as an Acharya is that one should actually take over the responsibility of preaching and giving this pure Krishna consciousness to everyone all over the world. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that if one earns his livelihood by displaying the deity in the temple, he's not an Acharya or Goswami. It would be better for him to accept service even as a sincere sweeper on the street, for that is more honorable. It's a more honorable means of earning one's living. So it's a very beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada, and I wanted to read that. So this is the spirit. This is the spirit in which Advaita Acharya was calling out to the Lord. And Advaita Acharya was not alone. There was also Haridas Thakur with him. So there, these two verses I thought of reading. This is directly from this chapter. कृष्णे अवतारिते अद्वैत प्रतिज्ञा करीला जल तुलसी दिया पूजा करी ते लगीला. Determined to deliver all the fallen souls, Advaita Acharya decided to cause Krishna to descend. With his vow, he began to offer Ganges water and tulasi leaves to worship the Lord. At the same time, Haridasa
kare gon Paya nama sankirtana,
Krishna avatarinaha ibena etanratmana. Similarly, Haridas Thakur chanted in his cave on the bank of the Ganges with the intention of causing Krishna's descent. So both of them were really, really enthusiastically praying and worshipping the Lord so that Lord Krishna could descend. And because of the devotional service of these two persons, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended as an incarnation and he preached the holy name of the Lord in ecstatic love to deliver everybody. So these two personalities together in Shantipur, they were delivering all the living entities and they were giving everyone love of God. Now, there is another incident concerning Haridas Thakur's uncommon behavior. So these are glories of Haridas Thakur, and we just saw what happened so far in two different places. One was he was in Benapola, and then we saw in Chandpur, and now we are seeing in Shantipur. And this is identified as especially being in Fuliagram. That is the place where Advaita Acharya had his, Haridas Thakur had his cave where he was doing his bhajan. So in this place, in this village of Fulia, there was a particular incident that was very, very strange that happened. And everyone, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, everyone will be astonished when they hear this incident. And he tells us that we should be very careful when we hear such incidents. We should not put forth dry arguments because these incidents are beyond our material reasoning. And we must believe these incidents with great faith. So then he begins narrating. He said, one day Haridas Thakur was sitting in his cave. He was very sincerely reciting the holy names of the Lord very loudly. And that night was full of moonlight. It was a moonlit, beautiful night. And the waves of the river Ganges was looking so dazzling as he was sitting in his cave. All the directions were very, very clear and very bright. And if someone could see the beauty of the cave, the cave was so beautiful in that moonlight. There was a beautiful tulsi plant on a clean altar that Haridas Thakur had kept. And if you just get the vision of that cave, a person will be completely satisfied and cleansed in his heart. So this was the beautiful scene where Haridas Thakur was sitting. And at that time, a woman, she appeared in the courtyard. The beauty of her body was so bright and it was tinged with so much light and beauty that the entire place had a yellowish hue when she appeared in that place. So when this lady came in, the entire place was filled with this yellow hue. And the whole atmosphere was very unusual. And the scent of her body was perfuming in all directions. And the tinkling of her ankle bells was very pleasing to the ear. So you can imagine this moonlit night, beautiful scene, beautiful cave, Haridas Thakur, very serene, very saintly person, chanting the holy names of the Lord that was reverberating everywhere. And there was this very nice tulsi plant that was there. And then comes a very, very beautiful woman with a nice golden hue that was penetrating that entire area. And she just came there. And she offered obeisances to the tulsi plant. And after circumambulating the tulsi plant, she came to the door of the cave where Haridas Thakur was sitting. And with folded hands, she offered obeisances unto the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. And sitting at the door, she began to speak to Haridas Thakur in a very sweet voice. She said, "Oh, my dear friend, you are the friend of the entire world. You're so beautiful and so qualified. I've come here to have union with you." So she said, "My dear sir, please accept me. You be very merciful towards me, because it is the characteristics of great saintly people to be merciful to the poor and fallen. I'm very fallen, but I want to be with you." And then she starts manifesting all sorts of various postures. It is described so much so that even the greatest of all saints and philosophers would get bewildered and lose their patience upon seeing it. Because our senses are extremely strong and we know the history again and again in Srimad Bhagavatam and in so many places we have read that senses are extremely strong, and even the greatest of all sages and saints who have thought that they have conquered, their senses get bewildered. We know the story of Vishwamitra, Shaubari, and so many other sages. And we also saw, however, in contrast to all this that is being described historically, we also see others like Haridas Thakur who are very strong. Like we just saw the incident of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute in Benapola. Now, one may think that Haridas Thakur, when he was in Benapola, when the prostitute came, actually Haridas Thakur already knew that this was the plan of Ramchandra Khan. So he was waiting there just to deliver the prostitute. So one may think, he didn't get bewildered because he already knew the plan. So therefore he was strong. But then here comes the other incident that proves to everybody, removes the doubts in everyone's heart, that even the strongest of the attractions cannot bewilder Haridas Thakur. Even if he doesn't know the plan, it will not bewilder him. So in any situation, Haridas Thakur was very, very steady. And that is what we are seeing here. So when this enchanting woman came, Haridas Thakur, he was immovable. He was so sthira and he was so deeply determined. And at that time, Haridas Thakur, he spoke in a very merciful way to her. He said, Sankhya nama sankirtana ye mahayajnamane tata he dikshita amihai pratidine. I have been initiated into a vow to perform a great sacrifice by chanting the holy name a certain number of times every day. As long as the vow to chant is unfulfilled, I do not desire anything else. When I finish my chanting, then I have an opportunity to do anything. Sit down at the door and hear the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As soon as the chanting is finished, I shall satisfy you as you desire. So like this, after saying this, Haridas Thakur, he continued to chant the holy names of the Lord. And the woman who was sitting before him began to hear the chanting of the holy name, very similar to what happened previously with the previous woman. In this way, he chanted and chanted and chanted, and the morning approached. And then the woman saw that the morning has approached, and then she thought Haridas Thakur is still chanting, and she got up and she left. So this repeated for 3 days. Again, very similar to the previous incident. So for 3 days, she approached Haridas Thakur in the same way, and she was exhibiting various postures, and she was trying to bewilder Haridas Thakur. And it is described even great demigods would get bewildered seeing all these postures, and great philosophers would lose their patience seeing all this. But then Haridas Thakur, who was very, very strong, he was endowed with spiritual strength by constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord, and he remained very, very fixed and absorbed in the holy names of Krishna. Very nicely, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he makes a very beautiful statement at this point. He says, Krishne nama vishtamana sada haridasa Prakasha. This was the attitude of Haridas Thakur when he was chanting the holy names of the Lord. The translation of this verse is, therefore, the feminine poses the woman exhibited were just like crying in the forest. And what does that mean? We were trying to understand what it means. So crying in the forest means crying in wilderness. It is a phrase that is used to say that he really didn't care for it. It didn't affect him in any way. He paid no attention to it at all. See, so much was happening in front of him and he just didn't care. He didn't even feel that somebody is, trying to allure him. It was like that. And connecting this, actually, there is a very beautiful story in Chaitanya Bhagavat about Haridas Thakur again, in the same place, in the same cave. So this story is not there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it is there in Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is about a snake living in the same cave as Haridas. So this was happening when Haridas Thakur was in Fulia and he was chanting the holy names. He would chant the holy names with so much absorption and so much taste that he didn't care for the external situations. Just like now this lady has come, very mysterious lady. She has appeared there and she's doing all these poses and it's not affecting him because He's not paying any attention to it. And you see how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, it is like Aranya Rodite, meaning it's like cries of the forest or crying in wilderness for Haridas Thakur. So similarly, once there was a big snake that was there in Haridas Thakur's cave once. And this is from Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And also not only in Chaitanya Bhagavat, but Srila Prabhupada also, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Verse Number 5, he describes this incident in the purport. What happened to Haridas Thakur when the snake was there. So Haridas Thakur, he would chant the holy names almost 300,000 times each day. And because he would chant so nicely, he would also chant loudly, and the whole area would be completely reverberating with the holy names of the Lord, that it appeared that entire cave was like Vaikuntha, that entire region was like Vaikuntha. But there was a snake that lived in that cave. And ordinary living beings like me or anyone else had no power to tolerate the fumes of the poison that that snake was emanating in that region. And so many visitors would come to speak to Haridas Thakur. Now see, understand that Haridas Thakur, when he was living in this place, of course he was completely accepted and respected by Advaita Acharya. And there were some critical Brahmanas who did not like him. But there were others also who were very innocent and very nice, other Brahmanas also, who accepted him just like Advaita Acharya accepted him. So there would be many people who would go and talk to him. They would go to the cave and they would try to take the association of Haridas Thakur. But then whenever they would go there, they could not stand there in that cave for long. Even in the mouth of the cave, they couldn't stand for long because there was so much fumes of poison coming out in that place. It was so disturbing. They couldn't stand for more than a few minutes. So these Brahmanas who were favorable, and they were thinking, what's wrong with Haridas Thakur? He's sitting in that cave for hours together, chanting. But we are able to feel this poisonous fumes. Is he not feeling it? They were worried. So they all got together and they started discussing, why are so many poisonous fumes coming from this place? And then there was one particular physician in Fulyagram. And he went to that cave and he inspected. And he could understand that there is a snake there. Because of the snake, there are many poisonous fumes that are coming out of that cave. And that physician said that no one has the power to live in so much poison. So Haridas should immediately be taken out of that place. You guys help him get a nice ashram or a nice place where he can reside and move him out of that place. And it is really not healthy, really not good to live like that with a poisonous snake. So this is very, very disturbing. I think he should be moved out. So everyone discussed among themselves and they went to Advaita Acharya and they asked him that, we are being given the suggestion by a very popular physician and he has told us that you have to move to another ashram because this is very, very unhealthy to be in this environment. And they were trying to convince him to move out of the cave. They said, there is a very, very big snake that is living here. And because of that poisonous fumes, nobody can stay here. You should not be staying here. And you better, we are going to make another ashram for you. And it's better that you move there. So when Haridas was told all this, Haridas was very surprised. He was asking, oh, really, is there a snake here? I've been living here for so many days. I'm not aware of any sort of poisonous flames or any sort of poisonous fumes coming out of this place. I don't feel anything at all. So he was very surprised, but all the Brahmanas were telling, what's wrong with you? We can feel it. But Haridas Thakur he just couldn't even realize that there was something like this. He was so absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord. Now, when Haridas Thakur didn't even have the feeling of such a poisonous snake being around him, when so many of them had complaints, why would this woman in any way be of any concern to him? He would not care for it at all. So this was Haridas Thakur. But then Haridas Thakur, for the sake of the Brahmanas who were pleading with him, he said, okay, it appears that you're all very concerned. So if the snake doesn't leave by tomorrow, I will leave this place and go to another place. So you all don't worry. But I suggest that now all of us should sing songs of Lord Krishna. And when we sing the songs of Lord Krishna, any sort of inauspiciousness will go away. So then everyone, he initiated everyone to chant Hare Krishna, and everyone started chanting the glories of Krishna, and they were chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And at that time, a very, very wondrous incident occurred. When the snake heard the words, Haridas will depart. If the snake doesn't leave by tomorrow, I will go. Haridas said that, right? So because the snake heard these words, Haridas will depart, the snake suddenly came out of that cave. It came out of that cave and it went. It just slithered and it went away to another place. And the people who saw the snake, they were all so amazed to see that the minute he said that statement and everyone started chanting Hare Krishna, the snake came out of the cave and it started going away. This snake was looking so beautiful, at the same time frightening. And the people around were describing that it looked like white, black and yellow. And it was very beautiful. It had multiple colors. It looked very beautiful. At the same time, it was so scary and so poisonous. And there was light emanating from its hoods. And it had a precious jewel on the hoods. Those lights were emanating. And that snake went away to some other place to reside. So like this, Haridas Thakur, he was the least affected by anything else. And by his power, the minute he said, I will leave if needed, the snake actually went away. The Brahmanas were amazed at the power of Haridas Thakur. And they just thought, he's so powerful. Just by speaking a few words, he made the snake leave this place. And Vrindavan Das Thakur at this time, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says that Haridas Thakur's glance can release people from the bonds of material illusion. And Lord Krishna himself does not override Haridas Thakur's words. So this was the power of Haridas Thakur. If he said something, it was so powerful. If he glanced at someone, it was so powerful. And whatever he said, even Krishna would think twice to override his words. So this was the power of Haridas Thakur. And he was such a great devotee because he had relished the holy names, he had relished the higher taste, and he was absorbed in continuously chanting Lord Krishna's names and thinking of Krishna. So when one is absorbed in this higher taste, then the lower things, be it the poison of the snake or be it this woman who is showing these postures, nothing affects such a person. Just like how Yamunacharya, he quotes very famous verse, Prabhupada likes this verse, he quotes it in many places. He says, since I'm just reading the English of Yamunacharya, he says, since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. Once you have tasted this Navanava rasa of Krishna Katha and Krishna Nama, everything else becomes distasteful. So Krishna consciousness, it is such a transcendentally nice thing that automatically material enjoyment becomes distasteful. You don't have to endeavor separately for it to make it distasteful. It will automatically become distasteful. Just like how a hungry man, when he is very hungry, you place in front of him the best of the prasadam. He eats the entire plate. He's completely satisfied. Now you bring him a second plate. Why would he even look at the second plate? He'll be like, don't even bring it near me. Right? So like that, a person whose senses are completely engaged in Krishna consciousness, he has tasted the best. So something low comes in front of him. Why is he even bothered about it? So like that, Haridas Thakur, he was such a person. And so we also see how this Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the holy names and the pastimes of the Lord or thoughts about the Lord, it is so transcendently powerful. Also in the Bhagavatam, we see a similar story of Ambarish and Amrish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni was a very great yogi, very, very great yogi, trying to restrain his senses. He was a great yogi. At the same time, you see the mood of Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was a very great devotee. But Ambarish Maharaj could actually conquer even the great yogi Durvasa Muni. Why? Because it is explained, Savai Manaha Krishna Padaravindayor. That is the reason, because his mind was completely fixed in the thoughts of Krishna. So that is the position of a devotee. There could be yogis who are very, very great at controlling senses, but a little bit here and there, there could be fall downs. But for a devotee who's really relishing Nama Rupa Gunanila of Krishna, then fall down is not possible, like Haridas Thakur. So anyhow, coming back to this woman, what happened to her? We just left her there. So at the end of the night of the third day, the woman, she came to Haridas Thakur and then she began to talk to him. So 3 nights she tried and Haridas Thakur was so fixed, nothing really affected him. So at the end of the third night, she came and she told him, My dear sir, for three nights you have cheated me by giving me false assurances. For I see that throughout the entire day and night, your chanting of the holy name is never finished. Then Haridas Thakur said, my dear friend, what can I do? What can I do? I've made a vow. How can I give it up? Then at that time, after offering obeisances to Haridas Thakur, now the woman, she declared her identity, who she was. Tabe nari kahe tanra kari namaskara ami maya karite alina pariksha tumara. She declared her identity and she said, I am the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I came here to test you. So this is the statement that Maya Devi makes. So this time it was Maya Devi, the personification of Maya herself, who came in front of Haridas Thakur to test him. That was the intention of Maya Devi. She just wanted to test him. And yes, Haridas Thakur, he passed with flying colors. And why is it so? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in chapter 7, verse number 14, Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prabhatyante mayametam tarantite. So he says, this divine energy of mine consisting of the 3 modes of material nature is very difficult, very, very difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me, so that is the point. But those who have surrendered unto me, they can easily cross beyond it. And this was perfectly proved by the behavior of Haridas Thakur. Maya enchants the whole world. And indeed, people have forgotten the ultimate goal of life because of the attractions of this material world. This material world is so attractive. All of us, we get so easily, you know, bewildered like this. So many attractions, so many attachments. But this dazzling attraction, especially the attractive beauty of a woman, is meant for persons who are not surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord says, Mam evam ye prabhadyante mayam metam tarantite. One who surrendered unto me can be conquered by the illusory energy of the Lord. So this is Prabhupada's purport. And actually, Prabhupada, when you go to this Daivi Esha Gunamai verse in Bhagavad Gita, he writes in the purport a very interesting example to understand this. So he says, we are all tied by this rope of Maya. We are in this material world. Guna means rope, right? So we are constantly tormented by, you know, and we act through the 3 modes of material nature. And the conditioned soul is tightly tied by these ropes of illusion. And he gives this example that if a man is tied, you know, his hands and legs are tied by a rope, it is very difficult for himself to release himself, meaning he cannot release himself. If he's tied, hands and legs are all tied up, how is he going to release? Okay, mouth is also tied. Imagine, mouth has a plaster, hands and legs are tied. Can he release himself? It is very hard. He cannot release himself. But a person who's unbound can come and release him. In this world, we are all bound. All of us are bound. So we cannot take the help of each other thinking, oh, he's a great person. I will take his help and I will get unbound. You cannot take help of demigods. You cannot take help of anybody, any strong person, any beautiful person. No, it doesn't work. Because in this material world, everybody is bound. Everyone is tied up like that. But there is one person who's never tied, and that is Krishna. Because he is outside the jurisdiction of this whole material creation, he doesn't come, he doesn't get bound by Maya. In fact, he's the master of Maya, and he says, this is my energy. So therefore, we have to surrender unto him, and he is the one who can come and untie all of us. So like this, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only and the only way to get rid of these clutches of Maya. And this was very nicely exhibited in this pastime of Srila Haridas Thakur. His surrender, his faith, and his taste in the holy names that he had, his constant chanting of the holy name, kept him so absorbed that nothing could bewilder him. And the illusory energy, she comes personally to test Haridas Thakur. And here she admits her defeat. She says, I am defeated. I'm not able to captivate you. Because Haridas Thakur was indeed completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. And he was chanting 300,000 holy names of the Lord each and every day according to his vow. So we'll end here, and then we'll have Monday. We'll continue to see the conversation between Maya Devi and Haridas Thakur. Because Maya Devi says so many things. I just touched upon the verse where she reveals her identity. And then she talks about so many things with Haridas Thakur. And Prabhupada has given many purports to all these verses from 250 onwards. And the Monday speaker will speak all of that. Thank you, Matajis, for your attention. Prabhujis and Matajis. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Sarnot Pranam. Very, very beautiful talk. Very, very nicely explained. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kamodaki Mataji. Thank you for your very valuable association.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Can you hear me?
Hare Krishna.
I'm in the middle of in my kitchen, but I was just thinking as I was listening to your class about, you know, as for a pure devotee, so many tests, so continuously he's being, you know, put through so many tribulations, you know, not just Maya Devi, not just the prostitute, but you know, blasphemy by other people and even physical abuse. It's kind of a little bit, I don't want to say depressing, but sad that why does a pure devotee have to go through so much? Why does he have to go through so much? That's my question. If he has to go through so much, then even we have to, I mean, do we have to go through that much? Is that what it's in store for us? it's a little bit, you know, intimidating, I think, for me, it seems. I'm feeling like I'm just making it above, you know, water. You know what I mean? I'm just rising my head above water, just not quite there yet. And this is causing, let me go somewhere, hold on. So it's just causing a little bit of, I don't know, I'm getting intimidated. Does that make sense?
Yes, but surrender gives strength and relief from fearlessness as well. Yes, Mataji. I mean, unless you go through that situation, it's very hard to, you know, say, oh, yeah. A person who's going through will know. That's what I'm trying to say. But the idea here is that Krishna tests especially his pure devotees. That is Krishna's way, because that person can really say, I have nothing, akinchanatvam, right? I don't have anybody. It's just you. And he can really release and take shelter of Krishna's feet. And definitely Krishna does give protection. I mean, he tests that. I mean, it's easy to say, but when we are put in that situation, that is the real test that we have to go through. And Krishna, unless he is very merciful, he doesn't test. So if he's testing, then that means he wants to show some extra mercy, right? And when we relish that dependence on Krishna, that's when we really understand, you know, our faith in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna understands our faith in Krishna consciousness.
Okay, I'm just hoping I pass that test. Okay, that's all I'm saying. I'm just hoping.
Absolutely.
You know, I guess from in my mind, I'm thinking like, I don't want to think about the test, like, you know what I mean? That's scary, so I'm going to say, you know what? I'm just going to do what I need to do,
exactly.
And I'll worry about what's going to happen later when it happens. I mean, that's my mentality. I don't want to ask, you know, And I'm praying that my Guru Maharaj will give me the strength and the protection that I need to go through any kind of test I need to go through. that's basically what I'm doing.
That's so true, Paneshwari Mataji. And that's what Haridas Thakur was doing. He didn't even care for the situation, meaning he was like, okay, I'll just continue to do my job, my chanting and my absorption in Krishna. And Krishna will take care of it. Now the equation is between Krishna and the situation.
And maybe that's the lesson. You know, maybe that is the lesson right there. That, you know, just plod along, do what you need to do. Do you what you know that your Guru Maharaj wants you to do, and you know, and trust in his protection, and then just keep doing it and everything else. Don't think about all those other things that may come, will come, whatever. So just a couple of thoughts that, you know, is going through my mind.
And it's so interesting that in our mind, when we are put into a very difficult situation, we try to solve the situation in our mind. Okay, this will happen and this solution will come. This will happen and this solution will come and it will clear out. Krishna will help us.
Yeah.
But Krishna will find a completely different way to solve the problem. Completely different way, which we cannot even fathom. At the end, I mean, once the problem is solved and we look back, everything falls in place and you understand.
Krishna
is ultimately in control. Yeah.
And maybe that also is the other lesson, right? That is the other lesson too. So not play mind games with yourself and think just kind of, I mean, this again, that's controlling the mind. So many different lessons that Srila Prabhupada gives us, we can see played out in this scenario. You know, not play in your mind about what has happened. Don't try to figure it out. You know, let go, let go, let God. And then, you know, and then just do what you need to do, and then Krishna will take care. So actually now I will rescind my previous thing and say, no, I'm not intimidated anymore. Now you've given me a little bit of hope. Now I know what I need to do. So I have been, you know, thank you again, reaffirm my faith, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Paneshwari Mataji. We always look forward to you sharing something, and thank you for that. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, Balavrinda.
Balavrinda, yes. You want to say something, Balavrinda?
I want to say something, Mataji. You said that when we are in Kali Yuga, our hands, our mouth, our eyes are tied. And can my dad, our mom, or my friends help me? We are all tied up. Simply, if we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna will help us and we can go to Godhead.
Very nice. You've given the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Very nice. Awesome, Vrinda baby.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Bol, Prabhu.
Two questions I have, Mataji. Very nice class, first of all, I'll say, you know, very nicely you explained the pastime of Haridas Thakur. So, you said that, you know, Maya Devi came as a woman who was alluring Haridas Thakur. So, externally, we understand that, you know, Maya can come in any form and, you know, one should be beware and have trust in Krishna. But is there any internal reason for Maya Devi to come and check Haridas Thakur? Is there any other, you know, hidden meaning? Or because most of the times we see two aspects of these things. So that was one question which I have. The second question which I have